morning with a bad hangover, and my penis was missing again. This happens all the time. It's detachable. This comes in handy a lot of the time. I can leave it home when I think it's going to get me in trouble, or I can rent it out when I don't need it. But now and then I go to a party, get drunk, and the next morning I can't, for the life of me, remember what I did with it. First I looked around my apartment and I couldn't find it. So I called up the place where the party was. They hadn't seen it either. I asked them to check the medicine cabinet, because for some reason I leave it there sometimes, but not this time. So I told them if it pops up to let me know. I called a few people who were at the party, but they were no help either. I was starting to get
started in June 2009, a year later, between the surgeries. Turkey tail grows virtually in every woodland in the world. This mushroom has been the subject of a breast cancer clinical study, and in combination with cancer, she was given less than 2 months to live. In combination with two great drugs and turkey tail, she now has no detectable tumors. She started in June 2009, a year later, her tumors had disappeared. Turkey tail grows virtually in every woodland of the world. This mushroom has been the subject of a breast cancer clinical study, and in combination with conventional medicines, helps increase immunity and helps patients be able to fight tumors.
Welcome to Chronicon. The first 3,000 years, 5239 BC, the Nemesis Cataclysm, to the Great Flood.
Greetings, and bienvenue, Midnight Crew. Thank you for returning to this broadcast. And welcome to new viewers joining us for the first time. If you like a video, then feel free to subscribe.
I might have just had a black-eyed kid experience. I was walking around downtown with my friend around 3 a.m. earlier tonight. I was sober, my friend wasn't. Last call was at 2 a.m., so downtown was pretty much deserted. It is a well-lit area because that side of downtown is very close to a public university. We were at a crosswalk waiting for the pedestrian lights to come on. We didn't want to jaywalk since there was a group of three policemen hanging at the intersection. There was a car who sat at the green light for 15 seconds, as if the driver didn't seem to know if they were going straight or turning. My friend and I looked at the police to see if they noticed the car just sitting there, but the police were lost in a conversation amongst themselves. The car decided to turn, and as the car drove by us, the driver rolled down the window to reveal that it was a girl. She stuck her head out in our direction and gave us a menacing stare from the other side of the street. Her neck looked distended, and the expression on her face was a mixture of hunger, aggression, and a crazed look, because she was baring her teeth at us, slightly exposing her lower jaw, plus the black eyes. I could also make out two other people in the car with her. I thought that we were going to have a fight in the middle of Fifth Street, but she kept on driving in the opposite direction. We crossed the street and started to trash talk about that car and the weird driver. We didn't compare what we saw until we got back to my place, and my friend admitted that he thought he was just drunk when he saw the eerie look on her face and her neck. He was ready to fight if they stopped the car. I felt fear at the intersection, but felt safe because the police were around and my friend was ready to buck up. So does anybody have any black-eyed kids experience or anything weird like that? Please share and post.
I swear I saw something like this when I was in Cleveland last year. Was leaving a club with my friend at around 1 a.m., and when we got in the car, some kid started knocking on my window, scaring the shit out of us. He was asking to use my phone and had this real cocky attitude, but it's Cleveland, so of course I didn't even roll my window down. Told him sorry and went to drive away, and he leaned in and we saw his eyes were black, and he just says,
"You're going to unlock the back door and let me use your phone."
And we just panicked and sped off. We just thought he was some edgy teenager with contacts. I didn't even know this was a thing until I saw this thread.
I had what may or may not have been a black-eyed kid. I think the person, or thing or whatever, was too tall and old-looking to be considered as a BK. He looked to be around 18 to 20. I was with an old friend at a cemetery. We played around with a witchboard. Bad idea, but whatever, and as we were leaving, a tall, thin male thing person walked past us. I noticed he had all black eyes, sclera and all. My friend did too. I didn't say anything, and neither did she, until he passed enough so we thought he couldn't hear us. I asked her if she saw that, and she knew right away I meant his eyes. I got excited, and so did she. our first instinct was to get in her car and GTFO. But of course, we had to travel down the same road he was. We drove past him. He noticed us again and started running, but not sure if I was tripping out or what, but I noticed that as he ran he appeared to be glitching. It was nuts. Eventually, he disappeared to God knows where and we went home. Needless to say, I didn't sleep well for a while, started hearing strange shit at night, and so forth. Nothing strange has happened since then as far as I can remember, at least nothing recently. Old friend claims she thinks she saw the presence again in the same area as the first time. Not sure if I believe her. Also, not sure if we're both nuts. Also, Anon who wrote this here again. In my opinion, based off of a couple people who I know who studies demonology, has led me to believe the male being I saw that night may have been a demon or something. I don't know. I'm confused as to what I saw that night and have been trying to figure it out. My only thought was BEK, but like I said, seemed slightly too old to be considered as a kid.
What I find interesting about Bex is that they seem to have a strict set of rules that they have to obey. They cannot enter a person's room. I heard from a guy who was camping that two Bex were standing outside his tent screaming that he let them in. That was going on until sunrise, but at the end the Bex disappeared. They cause dread in people. Many report that as soon as they touch the door handle, they get a huge sense of dread coming over them. Maybe it's instinct or something else, I don't know. The black eyes, which is particularly fascinating because of all the features they could have, those black eyes that are very obvious to anyone. They don't come alone. Never heard of a story where there is only one Beck. It's always at least two of them, mostly an older and a younger one. They have to wait for one's approval. It's sort of like vampires, but instead of blood, they seem to suck life energy. They target specific people. I read from a story that the Becks are going to a specific door and ignoring all the others in an apartment building. All in all, the Becks are the most interesting group of oddities out there. I hope that someone who is clear enough when they encounter them is able to exploit the rules to get to know more of them.
I heard a story from one of my battle buddies when I was in advanced individual training at Fort Sam Houston. Be my battle buddy, phase 5 plus, so allowed to stay off post during weekends. Get a motel room so I don't have to stay in the barracks, because you can smoke in a hotel room. Should note the motel all of us would usually stay at had room access on the outside, sort of like apartments and had two floors. Don't know what room my battle buddy had though. Hear a knock at the door, look out the peephole and see a teenage girl there. Lock the door chain before opening the door and crack a, how can I help you? Girl looks my battle buddy in the eye and asks to come in and use the phone. Battle buddy shuts and locks the door back up and ends up staying up all night before turning in her room key a day early and coming back to base. Was talking about how her eyes were black and that she'd heard the stories before but didn't think they were real. I told her it was probably some kid pranking her since it was the weekend and that hotel is not really a safe place to go anyway. Since the Beck myth has gotten out, I've heard of a lot of random kids trolling people with black contacts.
Be about 4 years ago, walking home from a friend's house a few blocks away. It's 3 a.m.-ish. Be walking down the main street of my neighborhood. One streetlight is in the distance. Notice someone under it. Get closer. I realize it's a very small person. She walks up. At the time, I couldn't tell if it was a boy or girl. She asks me if I know where an address is. The street she was talking about was about 3 streets back the way I had come. I walk into the light with her. Look her over. Realize then that she is a little girl. About 4'9". Looks to be about 9 to 10-ish. She was wearing a hoodie with no markings, just a plain black one. Torn up jeans as was the style at the time, and black Converse shoes. I tell her where the street is and ask if she needed me to show her. I lived in a pretty nice neighborhood, but a 9-year-old girl out at 3 a.m. still worried me. She giggled and said no thanks. It was then that she finally looked straight at me. Noticed how weird her eyes were. Then she just walked off. I stood and watched her for a few seconds. Then just continued on my way home. Then about a week later I heard about BEK's on, X and flip out.
Black-eyed people, sometimes called black-eyed children or Beck, are young people, often children, with eyes that are solid black with no differentiation between sclera, pupil, or iris, and are occasionally reported to have blue or bluish tinted skin like that of a corpse. Those who report encounters with them often feel that the children were somehow supernatural and extremely dangerous, though they could not explain why.
Often they can be seen playing games and singing the nursery songs Old Man Long Legs or He Jumped Into a Bramble Bush. They are usually near abandoned or deserted areas. Sometimes, the reports talk of them appearing at one's doorstep, usually alone or in a pair. They appear to be unusually confident, yet shy children who avoid your gaze and look down, hiding their eyes, but speaking with an eloquence far beyond their apparent age. Often using the mannerisms and speech patterns of an adult, they occasionally even possess the voice of an adult, too. They will usually attempt to talk the victim into allowing them entry into their home to use a telephone or to be safe from some unspecified danger. Occasionally, when seen outside the home, they will immediately stop their play and stare at you, or, if possible, approach you, asking for a place to stay or trying to talk you into giving them a ride home. Often, people begin to agree to their requests against their better judgment, even though the request will seem vaguely unsettling, without realizing why it is. Should you discover that their eyes are completely black, the children become very angry and insistent on you complying with their demands. Some people who have encountered Beck feel that the children may have been using some form of low-level mind control to get them to comply. Experiences involving the Beck generally do not explain the cause of the children's eye color or the origins of the children themselves. Sometimes thought to be the spirits of lost or murdered children, the Beck are thought to be harbingers of ill will and personal doom. The encounters frequently emphasize that the children must be voluntarily admitted or invited into the house or car in question, and in this way are reminiscent of some vampire legends. However, it is unspecified what happens should you comply with their demands, as no reports of the Beck have included that happening, possibly indicating the death of those that comply.
This incident involved my fiancée in April 2011. To this day, she refuses to talk about it, but I decided to post it here to see what others can get out of it. We then lived in Bangor, Maine. It was around 10:30 p.m. that evening. I was on a late shift at work and she was home alone with our cat in our apartment. She said she read while the cat slept on her lap. A moment later, the cat stood up and stared intently at the outside door. He then mewled and scampered into the bedroom. He had never acted like that before, so she assumed it was just another weird thing cats do. Just as she got comfortable again, the doorbell rang. She thought it was strange that someone would want to visit at that time of night. She got up and peeked through the hole, but saw nothing. So she turned away from the door when there were three loud knocks. She was immediately alarmed, but curiosity took the best of her, and she cracked the door to see who was there. She saw a boy, around 11 or 12, though short, standing there. She opened the door to ask what he wanted. She assumed that this child had either gotten locked out of another apartment or asked for help. That's when he looked up at her, and she noticed his eyes. The light from the apartment spilled out into the hallway, affirming his black eyes. She claimed she was paralyzed by shock as the child demanded entry. By that time, the cat had come out of the bedroom and lay on the floor behind her, ears folded back and hissing. She said she felt compelled to say yes, but as she stared into those coal black eyes, she suddenly slammed the door and locked the deadbolt. She claimed that she listened to the child's footsteps in the hallway, but heard nothing. After several terrifying minutes, she peeked out the door and the child was gone or disappeared. She said she had never been so scared in her life. She thought the cat's hissing interrupted her paralysis, allowing her to regain her thoughts and quickly close the door. She never discusses it, though I'm sure she wonders what may have happened if she had let the black-eyed boy into the apartment.
I was employed at an appliance and furniture rental and sales business in Great Bend, Kansas. One morning, a co-worker and I opened the store. When we arrived, we noticed that the back door was open, and when we entered the back room, all the lights in the store had been turned on. It didn't look like a break-in because the security latch was intact. The security system had been disabled. There was no power indicator on the code box. We immediately called the police and the store manager to report the situation. We were told not to open the store and to remain in the back office until someone arrived. A few minutes later, after hanging up the phone with the store manager, a police officer was knocking on the back door. I left him in and told him what we had found when we arrived. The officer started to walk through the back room and into the showroom when we started to hear a baby cry. I thought that a customer may have somehow entered the store and that they had a baby with them. My coworker and I followed the officer in the direction of the crying. Well, I didn't believe what I saw. There were two babies lying on a twin-size bed display. The officer told us to stay there while he checked the rest of the store. He had also radioed for another police officer to come to the location. I looked down at the babies, who were both tightly wrapped in dark green cloth. Both babies were quiet, very still, and looking at me and my co-worker. I was taken aback by their odd eyes. Both babies had large pupils that were black. There were no irises, and neither of the babies blinked. The police officer was soon back with us. He commented on the baby's eyes as well. In fact, he was totally freaked out. So much so that he looked scared. The store manager soon arrived, as well as a senior police officer. We all stood around the bed looking at these strange babies who lay there quietly watching us. The store manager pulled my co-worker and me to the side and told us to go ahead and leave. He was not opening the store until he found out what was going on. We quickly headed toward the back door and left. I wasn't scheduled to work until a couple days later, but I had talked to a few co-workers who said that the atmosphere in the store was very strange. They had been receiving weird telephone calls, and the security system alarm would trip on several times during the day. I got to work a little early for my next scheduled shift. When I arrived, the store manager was sitting in the office, so I asked him what had happened after we had left. He said that two young women, who said they were from the municipal court, eventually showed up and took the babies. The senior police officer told him later that he had no idea who the women were, but that he was told by his superior not to impede. He thought they were probably from McConnell Air Force Base in Wichita. He also said that the babies were very quiet and seemed relaxed the entire period that they were there. I stopped working there not long after. Things were just never the same, and it got tougher each day, especially when odd-looking people would come into the store and just walk around. I didn't feel comfortable being there.
Several years ago, I went to Disney World in Florida with my family. I was 17 at the time, and it was me, my mom, my dad's older sister, and my 5-year-old brother. It was a blistering summer day in late August of 2006. We had been to Disney World a few times and knew what to expect. Long lines, miserably hot weather, and overpriced items. But hey, we were at Disney World. So we were waiting in line for a ride called Dinosaur in the Animal Kingdom. We had just joined the back of a long line and knew that it could be a 15 to 20 minute wait. Ahead of us, a man was holding his daughter's hand. They were unusually quiet, very patient compared to the rest of the families ahead of them. We could hear screams of excitement coming from the ride and the rides all around us. The anticipation building. I'm standing there, distracted by all the sights and sounds around us, grabbing a splash of warm water every moment or so, almost in a daze. Without warning, my brother lets out a blood-curdling scream. Now I've heard my brother scream before when he's thrown a tantrum or when he got stung by a bee or something. This was different. It was a scream of absolute fear. I broke out of my frozen gaze and looked down to see my little brother staring straight ahead. He was staring at the little girl who was holding her father's hand. Immediately, I knew what made him scream. It was the little girl's eyes. They met mine, and she cracked the evilest smile I had ever seen. But the smile wasn't the scary part. It was her eyes. They were obsidian, polished black in color, and not just the iris, but the entire eyeball. Her dark eyes narrowed. She turned back around to face forward. By this point, my parents bent down to examine my little brother and comfort him. Every pair of eyes in the park was now staring at us, but the terrified expression on my little brother's face didn't change. It stayed that way for a moment or so. That's when the tears came. My mother prompted us to head back to our hotel room immediately. So we did. But before we parted, I looked back at the father and the little girl, and nothing. Poof. They were gone. I scanned the surrounding crowd, and there was no sign of them. After the initial shock wore off, then the questions came. My family took turns asking him what happened. My little brother couldn't find the words to describe what he saw and felt that day, so I did it for him. But my parents responded in complete disbelief, as I knew they probably would. They just brushed it off and decided to take my little brother to see a doctor, and everything was checked out. It wasn't until years later that he opened up about his experience to my parents. He told them what he had seen. He described it as an alien demon. When asked how he knew what it was, he just simply explained, "Her eyes told me so." Our shared experience led us to begin doing some research. What we found both disturbed and comforted us. It was disturbing to know that we were not the only ones to have seen these creepy black-eyed children. It's disturbing to know how common people report seeing them. So many people have been terrorized by these things. I can't even call them children. I will never stop looking for answers.
I live in southeast Pennsylvania. I work in Delaware, and my ride to work is this very long, winding farm road. At one point, I make a right onto another farm road, and this road is a very, very tight space. It's two ways, so you can go one way in cars. We can go the opposite way, but it's a very, very tight space. So when you're driving, the car beside you that's coming the opposite way, you both kind of have to slow down just to be safe. It's kind of a dangerous road. Now, on each side of you are very tall grass hills, so if a cop was going to pull you over, I'm not really sure exactly where you'd pull off. You'd have to ride down the road for a while before you'd be able to pull over because it's that type of space and there's nowhere to pull over, really. So I'm driving this road on a Saturday. I had to be at work at 3 p.m. and it was around 2:30 p.m. I'm on this road, this very tight space, and there are cars coming the opposite way, and I'm slowing down so that we can both pass safely. I look to my right and there's a break in the hills, in the grass hills, where there's an entrance to a farm, and I look over, and in that entrance is a little boy. First of all, on Saturday it was 40 degrees, and he was not dressed like it was 40 degrees. He did not have a coat on, no hat, no scarf, no gloves, nothing. He had on a red and gray striped shirt and jeans. The way he was dressed and the way he looked, he didn't look like he was from this time period. He looked like he was maybe from the 1950s. He was very pale and he was staring. He was standing on his bike. He wasn't on his bike. His bike was to the right of him and he was holding it and he was stiff. He's stiff as a board and at first I actually thought he was a statue. Anyway, he's standing there staring straight ahead like his eyes are really big. He's staring straight ahead and his eyes are black, like they're completely black and I'm looking right in his face. He's not that far from me, he's maybe 50 feet away and I'm looking right in his face and he's just staring straight ahead and not moving. I was really creeped out by it and then my window started to fog up, but only my window. My windshield, my back windshield, the passenger seat, or the back seats, none of them fogged up, only mine. I really don't believe in this stuff, like I don't think about strange phenomena. I don't read too much into it, whatever, so I know that this sounds crazy, but I promise you, I'm not crazy. I'm not putting this out there for attention or anything. I'm just putting it out there because I'm hoping someone has a logical explanation for what I saw because, like I said, I don't believe in this stuff, and I would hope that there is a logical explanation for this little boy. So I went to work, and I told a few people what had happened, and they were like, maybe it was a statue. I have to take that road home, so by the time I leave work, it's about 12:30 a.m., and I'm driving on this road. This would be Sunday morning and I'm driving very fast, even though the speed limit is only 35. I'm driving very fast because I do not want to be on this road and I glance over very quickly and that gate to where the entrance to the farm is. It's not closed. There's no little boy there. There's no statue, so he definitely was not a statue. I don't have an explanation for what he was. The thing is though, if he was a real little boy and maybe I'm imagining this, there's nowhere for him to ride that bike. I googled that road thinking that maybe he was a ghost and to see if a little boy had been killed there. The only thing I got was a man who had been killed there. He was a grown man, though. He had been hit by a car, but that's the thing. It's so dangerous for a pedestrian on that road.
The incident took place in November 2012. The gas station was a lonely building just off the highway and was the only service station for miles around. It was around 3 a.m. and the attendant was going about his normal duties when the power suddenly went out, plunging him into darkness. Using his phone as a makeshift light, the attendant made his way back to the backup gas generator and switched it on. The backup lighting came on, but only the parking lot and the hall to the register were lit up. The rest of the gas station remained in darkness. The attendant figured that the bad weather was probably to blame for the power outage. That was until he saw something moving at the edge of the darkness. He watched intently for several moments, eventually making out what looked to be three children riding bikes. Almost as soon as he saw them, two leaped from their bikes and made their way over to the gas station. They stopped at the doorway and stood staring at the attendant. Now a little unsettled but still not overly concerned, he made his way to the door and opened it, asking the two children if they were okay and stating it was late for such young kids to be roaming around near the highway. One of them, a young girl, asked him if she could use his phone. As he handed her his mobile phone, her eyes met him, and the attendant saw that they were solid black orbs. "No," the girl snapped, I need the real one, motioning to use the landline phone in the gas station itself. At this point, fear finally overtook the attendant, and he pushed the door shut and locked it in one move, shouting as he did so that the girl should go home. The children stared at the attendant through the window for a moment longer before turning around, getting on their bikes, and riding off into the darkness. The following morning, the attendant told his boss of the ordeal and requested that he go through the security cameras. However, they had been off due to the power outage. It is not known if the power going out was connected to the Black Eyed Kid's arrival or if it was just an unusual coincidence.
I have a kind of out there theory about the Bex, but this is slash X slash, so here I go, vampires. Perhaps they did exist. They'd kill their victims on the street or gain permission to enter their home and slay them there, but the vampires can only do this for so long before people begin to catch on. People no longer roam the streets at night or answer their door when the moon rises, so what do vampires do now? They use a different method to kill their prey. They use children. Kids will trust anyone, so what if the vampires took these kids and bound them together, projected their thoughts into the child's mind, which changed their eyes so they see what vampires see, which is the doors to the victims' homes. Adults will always feel sorry for a starving or lost child and will no doubt let them into their home, and because the children are bound with the vampires, they too have received the permission. Perhaps vampires don't exist anymore, but these children are still roaming the streets asking to be led into the homes of what they believe to be their master's food. That's what I think. But who knows?
I hope that you enjoyed tonight's broadcast. If you enjoyed tonight's story, then please subscribe to the channel as more green tips will appear daily. A new broadcast will appear when the clock strikes midnight Central Time.
Remember to check out the Odyssey page in the description for a second archive of the channel's video.